Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is the Truth Zone. And you better believe we are in the heart, deep in the vortex, the eye of the storm of the information revolution. We're going to have two topics today. And we got five audio clips to play for you, which I'm sure you'll be very happy because it's the less that you have to hear from me. The first one I've labeled The Future Under Liberalism. Now, understand that these two clips are from your average college student. Yes, parents, this is what your child is developing into with the tens of thousands of dollars you're spending on what's called higher education. These people can't even complete a sentence. These people can't even articulate why they support something they don't even know what it is. This is our future, ladies and gentlemen. If you parents don't do your job, talk to your children, question them, see where they're at, and then act accordingly. In the second clip, if this fat broad was my daughter, she'd be cut off from all of my money going towards her education. I'm telling you that right now, and I don't care who doesn't like it. I would say, honey, either get education on your own dime or go flip burgers at McDonald's, because my retirement money isn't going to your stupidity. And that's just the bottom line. Here on the Truth Zone, I'm uncensored. I tell it like it is, and the chips will fall where they may. Absolutely disgusting. So why don't we just go right into the first one, where we have an interview of multiple college students trying to sound intellectual and then asked to define something, you see how unintelligent they truly are.
In your opinion, is socialism a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think people kind of throw that word around to try to scare you. But if helping people is socialism, then I'm for it.
It could really benefit our country in the future.
I think it's a good idea.
Socialism is a scary word because it's a disaster. I doubt any of these people know anything about what's going on in Venezuela. I doubt it. Or in Greece, for that matter. Nobody knows, but it's a good thing. And the hype made it a scary concept. No, reality made it a scary concept.
Socialism as a concept, as a philosophy, is good. I think that it's got a bad rep.
Listen to that pseudo-intellectual. Look how he tries to come off. He's going to come back later on when he's asked to define socialism from an economic point of view.
To spread the wealth is definitely a good thing in America, and it's definitely a thing that's needed.
Only losers want the wealth spread. Only losers that can't excel on their own want someone like myself, who has done pretty well, never took a loan from family and friends. Have I been on unemployment? Sure. Was I happy about it? No, because you know what? If the currency wasn't rigged, my fiscal conservatism, I could have saved enough money along the way that I could have lived off of my savings while I was in between jobs. But because we've seen our 401ks basically flatlined for the last 10 years or so, outside of some gains, perhaps, but your savings account, zero interest, folks, zero. And who can really save money these days? Let me throw a statistic out for you. Nearly 60% of Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account. You get it? 60%. And that's an old stat. Matter of fact, you know, this just came to me now. I want to check that and see where America is at this point, because that was several years ago. So, you know, if the game wasn't rigged, people like myself who are fiscally conservative would have even way more than what we have presently. And that's how it was in the old days before government handouts. You came to America, you lived conservatively, you put money away. If you lost your job, you're out. You live off your savings, you find another job. That's how it worked. Or you opened up a business, which was way easier 100 years ago. We don't have that luxury now, do we? Because America is basically, it's a crony capitalist society. It's not quite socialism, although right now the health insurance industry is definitely, in my opinion, certainly if it's not socialism by definition, certainly the government, the federal government, has its tentacles deep in enough that we really can't call it a private industry anymore. That's really not accurate. It's government and corporate collusion to take choice from us, give us a crappier product called the health insurance plan for a higher price because we have nowhere to go. I mean, the federal government, and I know I'm ranting and I'm going a little bit off the mark, but it's part of the socialist wheel. When the federal government makes a one-system regulatory body, that's the end of choice. Because every single insurance company has to comply with that one set of regulations, and they're huge regulations. And all of those taxes, basically, it doesn't matter where you go, whether it's Cigna, whether it's Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're going to get the same basic package for the same basic price. Competition is killed. Choice is taken away, and we're at the mercy of a few. That's also an oligarchy. So that's where America is, and that's where America is moving, and these libtards, yes, I'm saying it, these libtards are just helping us move closer and closer to a Venezuela and Greece situation. And the second clip is, I just wanted to do my duty and vote. I didn't know anything about anybody, really, but I wanted to do my duty. No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, America, what your duty is. Your duty is to have full, I'm not saying 100%. You don't have to be a constitutional lawyer. Yeah, the last president proved that, what that means. But you got to have good, comprehensive knowledge of what the Founding Fathers intended, what the Constitution means, and what individual sovereignty means, and further, what limited government means. You need to know and understand those principles before you go and vote. Just showing up at a voting installation, walking into a booth and either pulling a lever or or hitting a box or taking your pencil and drawing a circle next to somebody. That's not your duty as an American. Any moron can do that. Okay, that's not being an American. Being an American is what I just said. Understanding the principles of America and acting accordingly. That's your duty. So, just keep that in mind.
There's a lot of things with social welfare that I think would be good to have.
Do you have a positive reaction to socialism or a negative one?
I'd say a more positive one. I'm definitely more open to it.
But we should have a standard of living for all people.
Okay.
So, in other words, I'm a lazy pussy. Can the government please just give us one standard so I don't have to try hard and make something of myself? Again, punish people who have the balls, who have the integrity, who have the drive to excel. Take that away and give to lazy parasites, basically.
By default, that should just be available.
If we did it democratically, then we could really incorporate socialism.
Like, it definitely seems like a more feasible option, and it could help more people. Like, just as a broad term, it could help more people.
Now, the person before that at least said something cogent. Because democracy is one step away from socialism. It's one step away from tyranny. As I explained the other day. Democracy is mob rule. America is a republic. And I don't care what anybody says. No, you cannot interchange republic and democracy. I proved you can't do that. We are a republic, one nation under God. We are not a republic democracy, okay? A republic is individual sovereignty. Minorities have a say. It is not mob rule, it's individual rule, and the government is to act in an advisory role. The United States government is to protect us from foreign and domestic invasion and consumer fraud. That's it. That's the republic. So at least she put democracy and socialism in the same sentence, because that makes sense. Because really, that's what a democracy is. It's tyranny. So is socialism.
How would you define socialism?
I mean, honestly, that definition gets thrown around a lot.
Here it comes. Now these people have been asked to define it. These answers are incredible.
I'm not exactly sure.
How would you view what socialism is, though? Economically, what is socialism?
Economically,
Yeah, that's the moron that came off as a pseudo-intellectual. Oh, socialism is good, and you know that word gets thrown around, and I think that absolutely we should positively, coherently, and, you know, justifiably. So he sounded like he's somebody, like he has an IQ over 6. But now he's been asked to define socialism, and he can't.
So, I'm going to think about that for a second.
I guess just specifically just, you know, getting rid of that wealth gap in the United States.
How would I describe it as little words possible?
Okay. We have a wealth gap in this country. As a matter of fact, under the 8 years of Obama, the wealth gap widened to the biggest we've ever had in United States history. And do you know why? Because government regulations that the big corporations like IBM and GE, Google, etc., etc., lobby the politicians in Washington to create, because they've got the money to handle those regulations and taxes, but it wipes out competition from smaller independent entities. That's why we have the wealth gap. It's because a federal government and big corporation collusion. We call that crony capitalism. See, I don't even want to use that term. I want to use what I just said. Government and corporate collusion to kill competition. That's what we're living in today. And the health insurance industry is a glorifying, radiating example. And what has happened to us? Tougher access to doctors and hospitals, more debt, unaffordable insurance, which stops us from getting the care we need. We continue.
How would you define socialism?
I mean, it's definitely more of an open form of government, and it feels like a lot more accessible to a lot more people, and that's kind of how I...
What the hell does that even mean? A more open form of government? I don't even know what that means. I couldn't even explain that. That doesn't make any sense. Totally incoherent. And these are college students, my friends.
See it, like being more accessible and more kind of like equal ground, yeah.
What does that mean necessarily, though?
To be quite honest, I don't know.
That's our future, ladies and gentlemen. That's our future under liberalism. Having fun yet? Wait till you listen to this beauty queen. Be thankful that it's audio. I had a look at it while breaking this clip down.
My name's Cassidy. I'm from Ventura, but I go to UCLA, and I'm just shopping with my friend. Yeah.
And who did you support in this last presidential election?
Neither of them. I liked Bernie, but I hate Trump more, so I voted for Hillary. Against my will, kind of. But
neither. You know that there were more than two.
There were more than two, yeah, but Gary Johnson's kind of a nut, too. So it was a tough election. I kind of wasn't sure about any of them, to be honest.
And what about Jill Stein?
I don't know a lot about Jill Stein. So I didn't want to vote for somebody about which I didn't know too much, so.
Well, yeah. So what do you have to look forward to from a Trump presidency?
To be honest, I have no idea. I guess the only, if you can call it redeeming factor, would be the factor of surprise. So I guess we'll see. Hopefully he's decent, but...
You got to give him credit for comic relief, too. Aren't you going to have fun?
I guess so. I suppose.
All right, but you voted for Hillary Clinton.
I did. Not proud of it, essentially, but better than Trump for me.
So when you say not proud, how would you say that voting for Clinton made you feel...
I mean, I felt as if I was doing my duty as an American to just vote in general and kind of get my voice out there, but you
voted for evil, right? The lesser
of two evils, I guess. I didn't
you
feel...
You still voted for evil.
I wanted to vote in general. I was not going to not vote, so just voted. Yeah.
Anything about Clinton that you...
You see that? Just voted. Yep. I did my duty. I don't know anything, but, you know, I did my duty. Talk about justification for disowning someone right there. Now, there's a walking advertisement for birth control if I ever saw one.
That you liked or would support? I mean, what differentiated her from Trump for you?
I mean, one of my things that I didn't really like about her is that she was using her candidacy to kind of promote that she is a woman and you should vote for her based solely on that fact. So I didn't really agree with that. I'm really into social politics. I think that... Her stance on gay marriage, abortion, and all of
that was the only thing cogent, by the way.
That was, you know, decent. So that was something that I could, you know, go to sleep at night knowing I voted for. But her other stances, I wasn't. I just don't think she.
So she voted for homosexual marriage. So she marched herself down to the voting booth to vote for homosexual marriage. That's it. That's what she was happy about. That. Unbelievable.
A trustworthy person was my was my beef with her. So.
Okay, so why Bernie?
He just seemed like a genuine person. A lot of times in politics, people are very, very political. It's like their whole standpoint, their whole life is just for them to be a politician, whereas I think Bernie was a real guy, which was kind of refreshing to see.
He's a real guy who's been a...
Okay, Bernie Sanders in the private industry was a loser. A loser. He's been a politician for almost half a century. His wife is being investigated for fraud at the university she teaches at, and now he's being investigated for fraud. He took $600,000 of campaign contributions and bought a vacation lake house. This is your icon of socialism and spreading the wealth, you libtards. Okay? That's Bernie Sanders, the real and genuine guy. Investigated for criminal charges. He should be investigated for taking those campaign funds and buying a freaking lake house. I mean, something's got to be wrong there. That should be income, should it not? Can I run for office, have a surplus of money, and then spend it any way I want? If I knew I could do that, I would have gotten into that racket 30 years ago. So, that's Bernie Sanders, the genuine guy, the shucks, the good old authentic person. Make me sick.
Politician for decades.
Yeah, no, he has. I'm not saying that he's not a politician, but he doesn't let that define him. He just seems like a more genuine person, I think, and that's kind of refreshing to see in politics.
Well, maybe it's just you not letting that define him.
Yeah, the guy that wrote a paper that when a woman is being made love to by her husband, she's fantasizing about being raped by three men. That's your genuine hokey-dokey Dear Lordy guy.
That very well could be. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So... What is it about him that is genuine, or do you see a problem with, like, well, he seems genuine without citing any, like, substance to that?
I mean, we're not buddies. I don't go to breakfast with him, so I don't know him personally, so I can't give grounds to that. But just from all of everything I've seen from him, he just seems like he legitimately cares about people and what he was doing, whereas a lot of people can be doing politics simply to get their name out there, have that power kind of thing.
So any policies of his that you supported?
You know, it's been a while, so I liked him just in general.
Do you support his idea of democratic socialism in general?
I mean, I think it would be a refreshing thing to try in the United States, so I think people are scared.
Refreshing thing to try in the United States. Yes, there's dead air for a second. Refreshing to try... in the United States. Again, I just refer you to Venezuela. So that's my answer to people. Well, I refer you to Venezuela. The country with the largest oil reserves in the world. Not just in the Western Hemisphere. Excuse me. The world. And... its citizens are eating their dogs and cats for food, for survival. That's your democratic socialist concept. And this broad has no clue.
Oh, I think it'd be new and refreshing to try in the United States, even though it's failed 187 times.
That's your future leader, friends, right there. You should be afraid. Be very afraid.
Of the word socialism?
Like that we should try taxing people based on how much they make.
Right. Sure, why not?
And we should try, like, massive social welfare programs.
Right. Sure, why not?
We should try college.
Yeah. Says the jackass living off of mommy and daddy, not out there working. No. But tax people on what they make. So, good. Go move to France, if they'll take you. get a well-paying job, if you can find one, and enjoy being taxed 60, 70, 80%. Enjoy. And then come back to America with your hat in your hand, begging for forgiveness. Because that's what she'd be doing. That's what they would be doing if they put some reality into their fantasy.
Tuition and assistance for all that.
I mean, as a college student, that's fantastic.
Well, isn't that stuff we're already doing?
I mean, I think everything can be improved upon. I think it takes fresh eyes for everything to kind of work for everybody.
So you wanted more.
Okay, so Bernie Sanders, who she supported and wanted to win, is 105 years old. He's been in politics for 60 years, a loser in the private market, but she's calling for fresh eyes. Can anyone tell me how a 105-year-old person can have fresh eyes? This is a walking, talking, breathing monstrosity. And she has the right to vote. You think about that.
Or of the status quo, just more better status quo with Bernie Sanders.
I mean, what do you mean by status quo with Bernie Sanders?
Well, like all the things that I just pointed out that are like the critical elements of his socialism or democratic socialism are actually already happening.
I mean, essentially, yeah, but there's a lot of things that can be improved upon, like I said. And that's, what's your stance on all of this?
I'll ask the questions here, if you don't mind. We can get into that if you don't mind. But first, so do you think we live in a capitalist society?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your definition of capitalism?
Just the exchange of money for goods and services and all of that detrimentally so to where people feel like they need to absolutely depend on the dollar and things like that.
So would Bernie Sanders get rid of that?
No.
If it would go into socialism instead of capitalism, right?
I mean, I don't think capitalism will ever be eliminated in the United States. That's just how we operate.
Well, you say capitalism is pursuing the dollar, or can you give me that again as a definition of capitalism?
Essentially, we're just kind of stuck on the fact that money makes the world go round, and all these goods and services are necessary, and it's much to the detriment of people who don't have certain advantages in life. And you know, if you're poor, you're pretty much stuck poor because that's just how our capitalist society is working.
Well, I mean, if you could define capitalism, we could see like whether or not we actually have that, right? So can you?
You're stuck poor. One, due to lack of drive and initiative, and let's face it, maybe lack of intelligence. We're not all born equal, folks. Just understand that. Some are smarter. Some are better looking. Some are more athletic. Some are more stronger. Just the way it is. Also, government regulations, as we've been discussing, makes it harder for you to excel. And this mentality that somebody owes you something and the government is supposed to support you and give you handouts also kills ingenuity. Necessity is the mother of invention. Remember that.
Give it to me more as a definition. Is that possible?
Probably not. Okay, yeah, I might not have been the best person to interview.
Okay, that makes you the perfect person to interview for this. So, because there is a specific definition of capitalism, which is ownership of the means of an economic system based on ownership of the means of production. So, what would the ultimate means of production be?
You know, I gotta go, unfortunately. Sorry.
Oh, because we're getting to the hard questions.
We have a movie to see, is why.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right, well, if you wanted to get the answer to your question, then the ultimate means of production is the individual human being, right? And you own yourself. And if we live in a society where that's not respected, then we don't have capitalism. And all the problems that you have ascribed to capitalism are actually problems of corporatism and fascism and the current system of government socialism, where government says we get to tax you, you don't own yourself, we get to regulate you, we get to control you. And the only legitimate metric of productivity in the system is human happiness, not dollars. That by itself, the fact that we're forced to use government currency is a violation of your self-ownership.
All right. His definition was really good right up to that point. Okay. We're supposed to have government currency. We don't have government currency. We have a privately run central bank called the Federal Reserve that loans money to the federal government at interest, which causes this illusory debt to mount up, and then politicians come to us and say, oh, the debt is mounting. It's mounting. And we have to pay for this somehow. We'll have to raise your taxes. And ill-informed people that don't understand the scam of the petrodollar coming off of the gold system, having absolutely no backing of intrinsic value, which is gold, with our money. Therefore, we have artificially blown up inflation that nobody can keep up with anymore other than the super rich, right? We have an elitist system of collusion. It's illegal and it's unconstitutional. It is very constitutional for the government to have a currency. How are you going to get by? Peanuts for almonds? I mean, you have to have a currency. It's the makeup of that currency and who's running it. That's the problem. Not the currency itself. And it's the same thing with government. He's going to go off on a rail about government. Government is what's defined as a necessary evil. And that is because individuals have their own code of ethics and morals and what they think is right. And that's the problem with the New Age concept. In gray areas and situational ethics. I can do what I want to do. There's no right or wrong. I can live my individual path, and I could decide what's good for me, no matter who else it hurts. And that's the truth. Now, I prefer mankind to be unified under the cross and Jesus Christ. Call me crazy, that's just me. But since that can't happen with Christendom being so fractured, so corrupt, without divine intervention, that is very unlikely. Despite what those Muslims think, they're not going to win. But anyway, I'm not going to drift into that weed. Therefore, we need a secular concept called government. And in the American Republic, that is supposed to be a unified infrastructure where people come from all different parts of the globe with different concepts and ideologies and unite under one secular Christian-based, though, but a secular, unified infrastructure where we are all Americans respecting individual sovereignty, with a very high moral and ethical philosophy. And that is what the U.S. Constitution is supposed to do, but due to it being very fractured and really obliterated in practical use, here we are in 2017, thoroughly divided, thoroughly unintelligible, thoroughly incoherent, and basically insane. We think that these concepts are going to give us a utopia where we're hugging and kissing each other, when in fact, in practical use, we have a chaotic dystopia where we hate everybody. And we form, instead of being unified in a society, we have hunkered down into our tribes of commonality. We have devolved into the animal kingdom, where tigers hang with tigers, bears hang with bears, flamingos hang with flamingos. That is what this so-called New Age evolved utopia has brought to the world. Happy? We continue.
And it's sad because it seems like, and I used to be a victim of this too, that we've been fooled into thinking that what we have is capitalism and that all the problems in the world are based on capitalism and greedy, evil capitalists, when in reality it's greedy, evil corporatists and socialists running government. And as a result, we end up calling for more government instead of actually having respect for individual rights. So does that make sense?
That does make sense. Absolutely. Right.
Well, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Enjoy your movie. Thanks. I hope that was fun. I hope I'm not trying to like embarrass you as much as,
it
you know.
It was. I mean, I feel foolish. Can I not be on the YouTube channel? Can we just
do that? What did you didn't say anything that was like,
I know, foolish. But I'm not as well informed as I would like to be. So.
Well, that you're going to help other people want to be better informed about these things. It's the thing is, it's you don't actually have to really understand this to be able to answer all these questions.
See, now if I was interviewing this girl and she said to me, I would like to be more informed than I am, I would have immediately asked, well, what steps are you taking to make yourself better informed? Guarantee you I would get, I don't really know.
You don't have to be better informed. Like, you don't, like, again, that's another myth of government. Like, you got to do your duty and vote. Mm-hmm. You got to research the candidates. You got to know. Like, no, bullshit. Mm-hmm. All you have to know is that government itself is an institution based on violent control, on coercive control, and that it's entirely set up to take advantage of you, to exploit you. And when you understand that, it's really easy to help people move past it. So you wouldn't be, if you had that, that simple understanding, I know it's really easy for me to like just bust it out in 10 seconds, but if you really understood that and understood the nature of government, then you'd be like, well, it's all a racket. It's all just, and you wouldn't be.
You see, what he said is incorrect. Now, he sounds like an anarchist. It's not the government structure of the United States that's the problem. It's the ultimate power held by corrupt individuals. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's like as it says in the Bible. The love of money is the root of all evil. See, not money is the root of all evil. The love of it. See, the exploitation of someone in a lesser position by someone of who's in a greater position, and great doesn't mean good, but a more powerful position, that's the problem. The United States Constitution and how this country is set up is not the problem. The problem is with who is in charge and a dumbed down populace. That's the problem. So, yes, you do have to become more educated. You have to become more informed, and yes, you have to dissect every single candidate that you have the power to vote into office. Yes, you do. You just can't say, well, I'm out of the system. I'm not going to participate. As Pericles said in 2500 BC, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. My friends, here's another dose of reality. There is no escape from the United States government. And for those of you that are living a fantasy, saying that you are not beholden to the government at all, I guarantee you, you are piss poor and you're living like Grizzly Adams. I guarantee it. I guarantee that you are not worth spit, which is why you're not under the government radar. But believe me, if you ever struck it rich, there's going to be a bullseye on your back and you're going to be in prison. Trust me. You are not escaping the government. So, the best thing that you can do to ensure as much individual sovereignty as possible for future Americans and maybe for the future of mankind is to get informed, teach your children, and vote accordingly. That is your duty to mankind.
Falling for Bernie Sanders. You wouldn't be falling for Hillary Clinton. You wouldn't be falling for voting for evil. Like, it's necessary to vote for evil. Yeah. Now, I say this from, like, a position as if I know what I'm talking about, because I figured it out the hard way, but I was in the Marine Corps. Mm. You know, I actually volunteered to kill people for these sick fucks.
Yeah.
So, like, the worst you did was vote for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. You know what I mean? Like, I'm coming from a position where I've supported the system in a much worse, much more evil way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope you'll want me to share this and put you on the spot that way so that other people who might be, like, if I didn't have the delusion, similar delusions, as I would call them, to what you're expressing right now, I would never enlisted in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would not have volunteered to go to Iraq to help kill people. I would not have tortured people in Fallujah.
Yeah.
And if people can learn from you having the courage to expose, you know, your contradictions and your misunderstandings, then hopefully we can prevent other people from putting their bodies on the line in a violent way for the system.
Yeah, no, understandable.
So is there anything you'd want to say? I'll give you a chance to have the last word if you want to say something to my audience or anybody else.
Not so much, really, no. Yeah.
You say you learned something from this conversation?
I did. I'm not sure quite what, but I think I learned something.
Don't talk to random dudes on this.
Well, then she didn't learn anything. If she cannot say what she learned, then she didn't learn anything. Because it went one ear and out the other. Because she's so full of cognitive dissonance that all she cared about was voting for Hillary Clinton because she supported gay marriage, excuse me, homosexual unions, which, by the way, there was a time when Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were both more conservative, using the conservative liberal paradigm, than Donald Trump. Go check out the clips in the 90s from Bill and Hillary Clinton on illegal immigration and homosexual unions. And check out Obama, too. They only flipped for your votes, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. These people are whores that have no integrity, that have no principles, which is why I could never be a politician. And there was a time I wanted to be a lawyer. I'm glad I went in another direction because I couldn't do it. I couldn't become a lawyer because I would have to sell out my principles. And I just can't do it.
Three in Santa Monica.
This is Adam Kokesh. Thanks for watching. Please share this video and support this production by going to patreon.com/Adam Kokesh.
I'll tell you, though, I'll give this guy some credit. At least he understood that he got fooled by the military-industrial complex into signing up for this fake, phony war on terror. I'll give him that. And I respect the fact that he shows remorse for getting hoodwinked like he did, and he's trying to provide a service to people to wake them up to what's going on in our government. I will give him that. He's not glorifying the military like most people I see on Facebook and Twitter. He's seen the light about the military-industrial complex, and he's speaking out about it. I'll give him credit, and I'll give him his due. I didn't agree on everything, but overall, he did a great job. So, we're at the 46-minute mark, but I want to play these three clips in succession. These are three of the latest people to have died mysteriously connected to the Clintons, and two of them were on their way to exposing the atrocities committed by the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. So I'm not going to interrupt. I'm going to run them off in succession and conclude the show with that. Here we go with clip one.
The Pentagon war planners have rightfully said that 90% of modern warfare is informational. That's why it's more important than ever that all of you watch.
I just want to say this. This is courtesy of Infowars.com and The Alex Jones Show. This first clip is from Infowars, and so is the third one.
Watching, subscribe on YouTube, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Real Alex Jones, because Infowars is the front line of the fight. And without your help and support, we will fail. With your support and with your prayers, we will be victorious against the globalists together.
I want to talk about this Haitian official, because I think this is interesting in light of the fact we just had another GOP operative who was found committed
suicide.
There's
no political killings. Lincoln died of natural causes. So did Kennedy.
That's right. That's right. Lead poisoning. In this case that we talked about on Friday, this guy's name was Peter Smith, and he was found with a bag around his head and helium attached to it, and he had written a suicide note saying, "No foul play whatsoever. I did this because I've got an expiring life insurance policy of $5 million. Now, that right there should tell you that something is wrong. If you're going to...
Harry Webb wrote one of those letters.
Yeah, exactly.
Right before he shot himself twice in the head with a shotgun.
Yeah, no foul play here. Don't worry about this. Nobody writes that in a suicide note. And the very fact that he says, I'm doing this because I want to collect insurance. Well, you're not going to collect insurance on a suicide. I don't know who's got a policy that pays on suicides. But now we have a Haitian official who was supposed to testify on Tuesday talking about the corruption in Haiti. He has now been found dead by gunshot wound that has been reported, registered as a suicide by the government. They say this man's name was Eberwine, Klaus Eberwine. He was a former Haitian government official who is expected to expose the extent of Clinton's foundation corruption and malpractice. He was going to do it next week. He was found dead in Miami at the age of 50 with a gunshot wound. Not long before his death, he acknowledged that his life was in danger because he was going to expose corruption in the Clinton Foundation. How many times have we heard this before? We had the D.C. madam come on with Alex Jones and saying, and Alex said, "Now, you're not thinking about committing suicide." Absolutely not. I'm not going to do this. We had Aaron Schwartz, who was taking on the NSA and the intelligence surveillance establishment, fighting them over SOPA, CISPA, and ACTA, PIPA, all these different variants that they had come up with. He had defeated them multiple times. This guy was a fighter. He was getting in their face. He was not somebody who's going to be cowed down by a prosecutor. And yet, we were told that after they came against him with trumped up charges that he committed suicide because he was concerned about 30 years in jail. The wife of the prosecutor who was coming after him, Carmen Ortiz, her husband, because she was getting criticized for all this, said she offered him a deal of only like 30 days to get out of this, not 30 years, if he would just plead guilty to something, and then removed that report. So we've seen this happen over and over again, but especially with the Clintons. We have this long list of Clinton sides, and this is what he had said before he died about the Clinton Foundation. He said the Clinton Foundation, they're criminals, they're thieves, they're liars, they're a disgrace. He said that at a protest outside the Clinton Foundation headquarters in Manhattan last year. And again, he was due to appear on Tuesday before the Haitian Senate Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, where he was widely expected to testify that the Clinton Foundation misappropriated Haiti earthquake donations from international donors. But then we find out, as he's talking about this, he said in his estimation, he was accused actually of fraud and corruption. He said, no, it's not me, it's the government, it's the Clintons. And what he said with that was there was only 0.6% of donations granted by international donors to the Clinton Foundation actually went to Haitians. He said another 9.6% went to the Haitian government. The remaining 89.8%, or $5.4 billion, was funded to non-Haitian organizations. So there's two ways that the Haitians are getting ripped off in this. After a natural disaster, people send a lot of money to them. And of course, as we always see, corrupt governments take a big cut of that. But in this case, it was really more organizations like the Clinton Foundation that didn't turn the money over to them. They just kept it. They fundraised off of the earthquake, off of the tragedy, but then didn't do anything with the money. That's one aspect of it. The other thing, as we've talked about, as we've interviewed people from Haiti, talking about what's going on there, why are the Clintons so interested in Haiti? Well, because there's a vast amount of mineral wealth there that's tied up in the land. And they want to be able to get the access to that mineral wealth, just as we saw the Clintons involved with the sale of 20% of our uranium to the Russians. They want to get their claws on what is happening in Haiti, even though it is one of the poorest countries in the world. We just had some friends get back from a vacation in the Dominican Republic, which is on the same island, Hispaniola, as Haiti is. The per capita income from the Dominican in the Dominican Republic is about a quarter of what it is here in the United States. It's $17,000. In the U.S., it's just under $60,000 per capita income. They said the people there were desperately poor. They were constantly coming after them for money and that sort of thing. But they said they had massive border wall and fence to keep the Haitians out. Why? Because even though the per capita income in Dominican Republic is only about $17,000, in Haiti, it's only $769. So one of the poorest, if not the poorest country in the world, setting on some of the most, the wealthiest reserves of minerals and other things in Haiti. That's why the Clintons are there. And as this article from shtfplan.com points out, Eberwine was expected to testify, but then he winds up committing suicide shortly before. Where have we seen this before? Well, we've seen it all the time from the Clintons, haven't we? Think about Vince Foster. Think about all these other people that we have seen, the many Clinton sides that happen over and over again. Real quickly, I want to talk about Rand Paul and what he had to say about healthcare, because I think he is spot on with what's going on. He said it's a giant bailout superfund for insurance companies. And he said this over the weekend. He said, I think the longer the bill is out there, the more conservative Republicans are going to discover that it is not repeal, and the more that everybody's going to discover that it keeps the fundamental flaw of Obamacare. He said that on Face the Nation yesterday. He said basically what the Republicans are trying to do is to subsidize the death spiral of Obamacare. That's precisely what McConnell and the so-called centrist Republicans are doing. They're the establishment, and there's no difference between these people and the Democrats. Let's understand that. He said it also has nothing to do with repeal. Rand Paul said, I mean, we promised the voters that for four elections. Four elections. When are they going to keep their promise? He said, I'm not for any more taxpayer money going to an industry that makes $15 billion a year. They're getting their subsidies. Where are they getting it? As we pointed out with Jerome Corsi, they're stealing all of the assets of the...
Okay, folks, so now he's going on to... And he's very brilliant, for sure, about exactly what this healthcare thing is. I know I was going to play the other clips, but due to something coming up, like my wife wrapped in a towel, I'm ending the show now, and I will continue this tomorrow. Thank you. See you on the Truth Zone tomorrow, 10 a.m.